There are certain things about people that we call kind of their earmarks, their features, the things we know about them. There are certain things that we think of as iconic, is the kind of way we term it today. They're so well known and so easily recognized that it instantly brings to mind a thing or a character or a place or maybe a memory that you have, something like that. When you see something iconic, you know instantly what it is. And so we got a little test this morning to see how everybody can do on some of this. What kind of car is that? Well, that's obviously a Volkswagen Beetle, isn't it? What about this picture right there? Can you see it? Oh, I made it too small, right down there at the bottom. What is something iconic? Raising the flag at Iwo Jima. Kids ought to know this one. What's this one, McKaylee? I'm right there in the middle. What sign is that? McDonald's. What about this one? Now, this one's going to be hard. It's real little down here at the bottom. I did that just to give you a hard time. That's Target. You know that one instantly when you see it. Here's one all the locals ought to know. Anybody recognize that one? Leal's. Nobody recognizes that one. Okay, what about people? People that we know. Certain things about them that we recognize. Why are we not going to the next slide? There we go. Okay. Character. John Wayne. Now, everybody be quiet and let Curtis answer this one. Curtis Wayne. This one's easy. This is Daniel's right here. Bugs Bunny. Fenton, do you know this one down here at the bottom? I made that one too small. Mickey Mouse. Earmarks. One more. Some people are known for their famous hairstyles. Anybody recognize that hairstyle? Donald Trump. Paul says, I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. Now, there's some speculation whether he was actually talking about physical marks from his beatings and from his stonings that he experienced, or if he meant he was kind of using it in a figurative sense. I think it's probably talking about his physical things. He's finishing his letter to the Galatians there in chapter 6. I bear on my body the brand. You know, he says, take me seriously because I have these marks. And so the question this morning is, do we have any brand marks of Jesus on us? We think of brands like we looked at McDonald's and looked at Leal's and looked at Target, these brands that we recognize. What about the brand marks of a Christian? I know that nobody here probably has suffered to the point of experiencing permanent physical markings like Paul did for their faith. Aren't we fortunate that we don't have to go through that? He'd be thankful for these things. But again, he wants to remind them of the seriousness of his work and how serious it is to be a Christian. We always say, you know, I've heard it my whole life. If you were sent to prison for being a Christian, if you had to face a trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That thought is very provoking, and it should be. It should make us think about the kind of examples that we're leaving for others. Every person living has some kind of distinguishing mark about their lives, the way they live, the things they do, the way they dress, etc. And likewise, businesses, churches, all have distinguishing earmarks. It would be so much better for the world, and so much better for the religious world, if we could all unite behind common earmarks of a church like in the New Testament, the Bible. We need to unite behind the Bible. I want you to notice my alliteration here. The banner. We all need to unite behind the name Christian. We all need to have biblical names. We all need to call ourselves the same name. We need to be united in that way. Christians only is the way we often speak about it. The bishops, that is, the elders and overseers of the church, the way our church leadership is set up. It's set up according to the Bible. The breaking of bread that we already mentioned this morning. Going through the Lord's Supper on a regular basis because it's so important to us to remember His sacrifice. Of course, another B, baptism. We need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's very important. Jesus said to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it must be important to do it the right way for the right reasons. And of course, our brotherhood. We need to be distinguished and united. These need to be earmarks of the church, that our worship and spiritual family should draw us closer to God and closer to one another. So let's consider a couple of different earmarks for Christians. First of all is our faith. We need to be known for our faith. Paul told the Romans that he was writing to, he says, you're known for this. First, I thank my God to Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. So when people mentioned, well, that church in Rome, over there in Italy, boy, they have really got some strong faith. It's reported all over the world. Their faith was known all over. What about our faith? As a whole, the church. What about individually, your faith? Do people know you in your neighborhood because of your faith, because of what you stand for? There was a lady that kept coming to her preacher. I'm so scared. My husband says he's going to kill me if I keep coming to your church. Of course, the church didn't belong to the preacher, but we'll throw that aside. She keeps coming to him. I'm worried about my husband. He's getting dangerous. The preacher says, yes, I understand. He had heard it over and over. She'd been going through this for quite a while. I will continue to pray for you. You need to have faith that the Lord will watch over you. I'm sure. I'm not worried. I think you're perfectly safe. You need to have better faith. And the woman says, oh yes, he has kept me safe thus far. But the preacher says, what? And the young lady says, well, he says now if I keep coming to church, he's coming after you. And the preacher says, oh well, you better go find a different church then. He didn't have very good faith. He could talk a big talk, but he didn't live it out, did he? He had a loss of faith. When times got tough, his faith went out the window. We need to be careful and make sure ours is not the same way. We often say, you hear the saying, well, he's having so much trouble, it makes him lose his religion. That kind of trouble would make a man lose his religion. Well, we need to remember that kind of trouble should make us use our religion, shouldn't it? Difficulties in life will generally do one of two things. It either make us better or make us bitter. It will make us use our faith or it will make us lose our faith. It's up to us. There was two girls that were counting their pennies. And one of them said, I have 5 pennies after counting. And the other one said, I have 10. Well, the first girl said, no, you've got 5 pennies right there. And the second girl said, no, I've got 10 because my dad's going to give me 5 more when he gets home. She had faith. She already counted those 5 cents as already received them, as we are told to count our blessings as having already received them by the Father. That's faith. That's the kind of faith Jesus talked about. He has promised us many things in life that we may not have at this very moment. But faith means that we will trust Him for it just like it was already ours. It's been said, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. It's impossible, it would be impossible to be forgiven of our many sins. But with faith, it can happen. Jesus has made that possible. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Faith means that we believe in the Lord and trust Him to direct our lives and care for us. That is something that people should notice about us. Again, earmarks. Faith means that we will talk to the Lord every day through prayer as though He is our friend and our Father, because He is. Faith means that we can talk to Him about anything, knowing that He loves us more than anybody else, that we love Him more than anything else. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, if you want to turn there. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. He says, you know, I'm suffering all these things for Christ, but I'm not ashamed about it. I'm not embarrassed to share my faith. Because He has entrusted that to me until the last day. Faith says, I know whom I have believed in. So what do you believe in for sure, for absolute certainty? 2 Corinthians 5:6-8, if you want to turn there. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Is that the way you feel? Would it be preferable to be with the Lord instead of being at home in the physical body that's breaking down, that's dying, that hurts, aches, it's uncomfortable? That's what Paul said. He says, I'm not worried because I would prefer to be at home with the Lord. Do we really live by faith? Are we known? Is that an earmark of our personality? Are we confident in our eternal salvation? Are we sure about heaven? Another earmark of Christians is evangelism, as we call it. Going and spreading the gospel. It's something that we should be known for. Matthew 28:18-20. I just got an excerpt here. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Evangelism is a matter of making believers out of unbelievers and making people into followers of Christ. Have you convinced anyone lately to follow Christ or to read the Bible or even to come to church? You know, Christianity is supposed to be very organic. You know, organic is kind of a catchphrase today for various different things, not always just about food. You'll notice in our society and media that you hear the term organic, and it means that it's natural and just going to happen and things like that. Well, that's the way Christianity is. Just like in nature, you have things that reproduce and grow without even having to tend to it, like kochia weeds. Mike, you have any kochia weeds down at your place? You don't have to do anything to make them grow. And all the plants and bugs and bacteria that just grow and grow and grow without any input from humans. It's what things in nature automatically do. It's the natural order of things to be organic, to grow like that, to just expand and multiply. Well, when a person is converted to Christ, the natural order of things is to go out and make another disciple. That's the way it should work. And then another, and then another, just like bacteria reproducing. That should be the quality of Christians. But as I'm sure we're all aware, oftentimes we face stagnation, don't we? There's no reproducing going on. We're not making disciples like we should. As we pointed out last week, that it's probably not because of a lack of programs or a lack of powerful preaching or a lack of powerful presentations or whatever, programs and situations for people. It may be because of a lack of concern and effort on the part of individual members. You may have noticed that oftentimes new converts have the most zeal. But after a time, we all seem to lose our zip and zeal for talking about the Lord. What has happened to our fire? Talking about others to Christ. About Christ. Proverbs 26:20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. There are some fires that need to be put out, obviously. And some fires that need to be stoked. The fire of gossip and quarrels needs to be put out. How do you put a fire out on gossip? Or whatever, we're just talking about that specifically right here. By not putting any more wood on the fire. Don't go on spreading things you shouldn't spread. This is just an example here. On the other hand, the fire of evangelism needs to be stoked. That fire needs to be enlarged. How do we do that? Put wood on the fire. By talking about it, by doing it, by living it, by making it our goal, by living it and breathing it. Making it known far and wide that Jesus is our Lord and we are proud of it. We're going to boast in the Lord as we study in class this morning. We're going to boast in one thing, and that is Jesus Christ and the cross. If we stop talking about our church family in a positive way, then no one will think about it and get excited about it and come visit or want to be a part of it. So we have to be sure to stoke fires. We need to be talking about how much we enjoy spending time with our brethren, spending time studying, spending time in prayer, spending time singing. And think about it this way. What happens sometimes when you go to the car dealership just to kind of look around? Anybody ever done that? Or we just go to the shoe store just to kind of look around? I don't have much trouble with this, but because I hate buying new shoes. Anyway, but when sometimes you kind of get these things on your mind, you know, kind of bills, and next thing you know, you're coming back, get to opening the doors in the cars and smelling the new car smell, and get to thinking about how nice it would be to have a new car, and next thing you know, you've caught it. You've caught the new car fever, or you've caught the new furniture fever, or you've caught the new shoe fever, whatever it is that we have a weakness for. That's kind of the way it needs to be with the church. The more we talk about it, the more time we spend together, the more time we think about how great it would be to share the gospel with others, to help some person out of darkness. It ought to be like that new car fever. It ought to kind of build. We get more comfortable with the thought, just like we get more comfortable with the thought of making car payments or buying a new car. You kind of get comfortable with that thought, and next thing you know, you've got a new car. It's kind of like fishing. The kids kind of got hooked on fishing a couple of weeks ago because they were actually catching fish. They weren't fishing, they were catching. And so the more they got into it, the more they enjoyed it, the more they liked it. We are to be the fishers of men, shouldn't we? The more we catch people, the more we'll enjoy it, and the more comfortable we will be with the cost involved. We'll make sure that we haven't stopped trying. We don't need to stop trying to talk to people about Christ, even though it's not a popular thing in our society today. We need to go about our everyday lives and watch for opportunities to speak a good word about Jesus and His church. That's what Peter told us in one of his writings, 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We must be armed and ready to speak for Christ in the church. But we also must do it kindly, gently, and respectfully. We know that cramming the gospel down someone's throat will not work. But speak we must. We must speak. We must share the gospel. If you believe in something strongly enough, you can't stop talking about it. One day, a lady criticized a preacher for his methods of evangelism and his teaching, attempting to win people to the Lord. She thought he was being too blunt or whatever. He says, you need to quit being that way. You need to teach people a different way. Find a different way. And the preacher's reply was, well, okay, I agree with you. I don't like the way I do it either. Tell me, how do you go about it? And of course, the lady kind of shuffled her feet, kind of hem-hawed around, and said, well, I guess I hadn't really ever done any teaching. So the preacher said, well, then I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. There was a story one time here a while back. A company decided to institute a policy of trying to make more phone calls within the business structure. It's a large company, had offices all over the country. And so they said, instead of sending an email, instead of sending a text, instead of sending instant messaging, we want you to try to call people because we need to improve the morale and the whatever in the business. And so one day, somebody in their cubicle in the office called and said, I guess I'll call somebody instead. So they found the number and called them and started talking and handled their business and said, well, by the way, where are you located? Oh, we're in such and such city. Oh, really? Well, I am too. Well, what office building? Well, such and such office. Oh, really? Well, what floor are you on? Well, I'm on the 12th floor. Well, me too. Where you at? And it's like, they were in the same office and didn't even know it until they made that phone call. They were just across the office from each other. That's how compartmentalized their life was. Well, sometimes people can be that way at work. They won't even know that their neighbor or their person they're working with is a Christian because they never talk about it. They never share any information. They may behave just like the world. So it may come to them as a surprise and they find out somebody they're working with is a Christian. It doesn't need to be that way with us. It needs to be like those iconic pictures that we showed at the beginning of the lesson. It needs to be instantly recognizable. Well, that person's a Christian because he doesn't do this and he does this. It needs to be an earmark. It's a tragedy if people do not know that we are Christians. To finish up, there's kind of a sad story that I've come across in preparing this lesson. It goes with the lesson. And it was true. But there was a young lady that went to a church service for the first time ever. She had never gone to church. Her family didn't go to church. Didn't know anything about it. Didn't know anything about it. Just, you know, one of those people didn't know anything about it. And so she wrote a letter to that congregation after she had gone to that one service. And she said, "Last Sunday, I attended your church and I heard the preacher. And in the sermon, the preacher said that all men have sinned and rebelled against God. Because of their rebellion and disobedience, they all face eternal destruction and punishment and separation from God. That's the lesson that I heard Sunday. But then also he said that God loved men and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem men from their sins, and that all those who believe in him would go to heaven and live with God eternally." She went on with her letter. She says, "My parents recently died in rapid succession. I know they did not believe in Jesus Christ, whom you call the Savior of the world. If what you believe is true, they are lost, eternally damned." So she says, "You compel me to believe that if the message is true, that you yourself don't believe this message, or that you don't care. You see, we only live 3 blocks from your church building and no one ever told us." Isn't that a sad story? Isn't that sad? I hope that's not true. I hope that didn't really happen, but it happens every day, doesn't it? People miss out on the gospel because nobody tells them. There's a song we sing, and it's kind of hard to sing sometimes, but "You Never Mention Him to Me." It's kind of the same line of thought, isn't it? One of the earmarks of the Christian is that we should evangelize and tell people about Christ whenever we can. We need to remove that responsibility from us to the individual. They need to hear the gospel, and then it's their responsibility to obey it. That way we don't have to give an answer for not sharing the gospel. We should be the earmarks for Christ whether we want to or not. We may feel inadequate. We may feel like we're not up to the task. But really, Jesus said his burden was light. We are to take up his cross daily and live for him, and people should know that about us. The earmarks of faith and evangelism should be evident and clear in our lives. If you have any need this morning, if you feel like that you have not obeyed the gospel fully, or if you have fallen short and you need your brethren to pray for you, we're more than willing to do that. We're willing to assist anybody that has any need of the church this morning. If you would, come as we stand and sing.